I'm Makini Smith. After going through a divorce, my sister passing away, experiencing narcissistic abuse, and some significant health scares, I realized through sharing my story that I wasn't alone in my suffering. Suffering, subjective distress generated by the experience of being out of balance. In a deep dive to holistically heal mind, body, and soul is where I discovered peace, clarity, and connection. It is impossible to be truly wise without some real life hardship. And we cannot develop post-traumatic wisdom without making it through, and most importantly, through it together. Social connection builds resilience, and resilience helps create post-traumatic wisdom. And that wisdom leads to hope. Hope for you and others witnessing and participating in your healing, and hope for your community. A healthy community is a healing community, and a healing community is full of hope because it has seen its own people weather, survive, and thrive. Krishna Avalon is a subconscious therapist, licensed acupuncturist, Psyche facilitator, and internal family systems practitioner who has led over 25,000 patients and clients to their health and wellness goals for the last 20 years, guiding people to become their best healed, whole, connected selves. She's helping seekers find their path. So please welcome to the show, Krishna Avalon.
Good morning. Thank you, Makini. It's great to be here.
I appreciate you taking the time to join us. I appreciate your energy. I am really looking forward to speaking about all things healing. So before we get to, you know, where you are presently, I love to learn about people's journey, their origin stories, how they got to where they are. So I would love if you could share for the listeners your journey of how you got to where you are presently.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Well, I mean, I would say that it's been a continual process of awakening since the time of conception. I'm a healer and a practitioner, and I don't say healer lightly. It's not a word that I ever used to use, but I've been a practitioner now for 20 years, and I've been blessed to just come into some really awesome modalities in my life. But the lessons that I came into this world needing to navigate because of what my mother was going through were learning safety and being who I am, trusting my voice, trusting who I am, what I was taught growing up as a brown girl in a very large Catholic family in the Midwest. I'm the only brown person in that very large family. It was basically a lot of try to fit in where you don't belong. Try to always say yes and do for others and never learn how to say no or have boundaries. To be a good person, to be a good daughter, to be a good family member, to not be selfish, right? And so it was very confusing for me growing up because I am just kind of naturally like have a lot of energy and I'm like very much a fire sign. If anyone out there knows what human design is, like I'm a generator. So I just have a lot of personal energy and bright lightness, but it was very much like dimmed down. And I was basically told that that was too much, right? And this is like a very condensed story of my upbringing. Now, I love my grandparents, but they kicked my mom out of town when she got pregnant with me because she was young and I was conceived from a one-night stand. Mm. Mom was not conscious when I was conceived. And I tell that to you without any trigger or sadness or emotion or just like that was the story. And so as a spiritual being, thinking about those lessons that I had to navigate and learn, not just for myself, but to also transform out of my mother's stories of being kicked out of a tribe, not being safe, all these things, you know, not receiving love and acceptance for who she was at her time. And for her being so young, and she never did learn boundaries and she never did learn how to say no. And she didn't have her own self-respect. And so that was a lot for me to navigate. Mm-hmm. And for the first, you know, time in my life when I found acupuncture school at the age of maybe 23, 24, that was the first thing in my life that was number one that I trusted all the way and never doubted. So acupuncture school took me down the path of healing. My life started changing. I loved it and I was very good at it. So I was able to have a practice, kind of move around the world many times and be able to still have plenty of people to support myself and then my family, doing work that I love. Becoming a mother was the second thing. I trusted 100%. But then it was like 17 years or so of doing this work that I was already so good at. And again, I don't say that from an ego place. It's just that I had been doing it for so long and so successfully that for me, it was definitely time to grow. And I need to be growing and I need to be inspired just like as a compass in life. And like love and beauty are my other two like compasses, but I just needed to change. And like so many of us during pandemic, when that hit and I had to close my clinic for 9 weeks, I had already wanted to shift and change and grow, but I really had to pivot. And so I had already heard about the subconscious mind on a podcast years ago and started down that path of doing my own subconscious work and knew that I wanted to train in some modalities. But it was when pandemic hit and it was forced to change that I was like, I wonder if that woman is teaching the classes. And so there was one woman in Portland where I live and I did all the trainings with her. Here in this house, actually, she taught here for 12 years and I ended up buying her house, which is a magical story. But all that to say, condensed version for sure. This is the stuff for me. Like acupuncture is magical. I love that as medicine. It's so beautiful and ancient. But the subconscious mind, when I started to learn about how it creates 97% of our lives, I became obsessed, and the process that I was trained in was able to help me move on in ways that I hadn't been able to do before. Mm-hmm. I started offering this work to some of my patients, and then without asking them the feedback that they were giving me, because I needed more proof that this was the path for me to follow, because I'd already been such a successful acupuncturist for so long. It was my identity, right? Like I was very enmeshed in it. And so for the last few years, like this is really the space I love to hold for people, because it allows us to peacefully unattach from our trauma and our stresses in a way that's quick and easy, unlike traditional talk therapy that only works with the conscious mind. It allows us to move on and have new experiences. So that's the neuroplasticity, the brain's ability to have a new experience. And then what's also very special about the work I was trained in is that you can actually then create new programs. And there are other ways of working with the subconscious mind that are really beautiful for some people to help them with their things. They didn't work for me. EMDR didn't work for me. Hypnotherapy didn't work for me. I do love emotion code, but again, you are just kind of clearing things. Mm-hmm. Working with emotions, you don't get to create new programs though. And so that is the path that I followed as like my 100% yes, follow this. And that was only the third thing in my life that I knew 100 I wanted to follow. So,
wow. There's so much that I want to unpack there. So much. I'm going to see if I can get through all the questions I have based on what you've shared so far. But before we do that, the sound was starting to get a little muffled as you were talking. So I just want to make sure. I don't know if it's, I'm hoping it's nothing on my end.
Me too. How is it right now?
It's like there's a light muffled echo when you talk.
I'm so sorry.
Okay.
Let me unplug this and see if it's better. Is that any better?
Yes. It's lower, but it's clearer.
Okay. Let me see if I can speak louder and turn it up.
Okay. So I want to unpack some of what you said. You've said so much in a short amount of time. So you talked about when you were conceived and some things that happened with your mother, and immediately it made me think of generational trauma. And you were talking about how when you were conceived, your mother was unconscious, and then, you know, your grandparents asking her to leave and things like that. As a healer, and the work that you do, understanding the generational trauma, And even, you know, you said you love your grandparents. So even having the compassion and empathy for, you know, our previous generations that didn't know better, how does that make you feel about, I don't want to say culture, but I guess in people in general? Okay, I will start there. How does that make you feel knowing what you know now?
Right. I mean, I spent a lot of time angry, right? And I was acting out and I was hurting and I didn't know why. And I didn't have the tools that I have now. And I didn't have compassion and empathy so much because I was so maxed out in my own system, didn't have safe people to process with or to guide me. And so for a long time, I was just acting out, reckless, kind of just unconscious, right? And it's still a process. Like, I've come so far. And I know because my mom was just here with me for 10 days. And like the amount of growth and healing that we've had just from me being different and allowing her to be who she is and not expecting her to be the parent I never had is obviously amazing. And then it's like, I know how to do stuff with the full moon, like a womb steam to clear scarcity and lack out of my body from my lineage. You know what I mean? And it was my daughter's birthday today. I think I shared, and it's like, it's almost like a birthday present to her.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, how does it make me feel now? It makes me feel many things, but mostly I get to be the one that breaks cycles. I get to be the one that brings healing to my lineage. I get to be the one that forgives.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe even teaches my ancestors how to go from here. I know that I do that for my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I have a picture of my grandparents on my altar. Like, they created so many special, beautiful memories for me as a kid growing up. Like, I have no resentment or hurt towards them because they didn't know any better. Yeah. Like, my grandpa, my mom said my grandpa was like such a racist. He was never like that to me. He was loving and accepting and kind.
Mm-hmm.
Never felt that. My grandparents just didn't know. Like, I was a one-night stand. They had a lot of shame. They were embarrassed. My mom was 20. They sent her away to live with her oldest brother, told her not to come back till she had a husband. Mm-hmm. And then my mom chose, like, not a good man to be her husband. So then I got to navigate all those things as well.
Mm-hmm.
But clearly my soul is a badass. My spirit is incredibly wise, or I wouldn't have chosen those lessons to come in with. So like, my physical earth mind body can feel, you know, weary at times. But when I remember the wisdom and the brilliance of my soul and my spirit and how temporary really everything is when you are a spiritual being and you perceive from that way, like, it's all so temporary.
Mm-hmm.
So even that is just so severe. Like, it's really a blink of an eye in the lesson of a soul, right? And that brings me a lot of solace. So I'm able to feel a lot of things all at the same time, but mostly, you know, I feel like a brilliant creator of life.
I love it. See, I strongly believe that healed ears hear different. So what I mean by that is, like, there may be a woman listening, because, you know, the show streams in so many different countries across the world, but there may be, based on their own experiences, based on their own history, based on their own traumas and perceptions, there may be a woman listening that may not fully understand even anything that we've discussed up until this point. So the reason why I ask, how does that make you feel now, is like, okay, everything is energy. Energy is transferable. Emotions are energy in motion. I didn't even understand that our children can be born with trapped emotions, or, you know, emotions and things that have energy from when we were pregnant with them, when they were conceived. It was a process that I had to go through, things that I had to experience to be able to understand that. So there may be someone that's listening that doesn't understand the connection. So that's why I asked that. You know, even when you spoke about your I guess your grandfather, you know, how he was with your mother, but you didn't see that side of him. I strongly believe as parents, as grandparents, as we evolve our interactions, obviously with the people around us at that stage are going to be very different. You know, the version of your grandfather that your mother got could have been more of an uneducated or unhealed version. But as time evolved and his experiences changed, you got a completely different version of him. Same person, but different version. You know, all three of my children have received a different version of me as I've evolved and healed over the years. So their memory may, one of them may need therapy from, you know, having to interact with me, where, you know, another may be totally praising who I am as a mother. It's based on our own healing, our own experiences and evolution as we grow. So I kind of just wanted to like unpack that for some of the listeners, because I feel like as much as we are all on our own healing journey, as much as we all, you know, have our own path to walk, you know, we're all in different places. And I feel like it's very common for me to have conversations with my peers where we feel like we're going back and forth and we totally get it. And then someone maybe overhearing and like, what? So I know that there may be a listener out there that's like, okay, wait, how does that correlate? I don't understand. So I just wanted to touch on that.
Yeah, it's so true. And I mean, I can just speak to anybody who's had stress or trauma, like past, present, or future. The reason why I love these things that I've come into is because like talk therapy might help some people. It does save lives, but for a lot of us, it's just kind of like perpetuating the same story over and over. People still end up feeling stuck, triggered, anxious, avoidant on a handful of pharmaceuticals. And that's fine if that's your comfort zone and it's where you want to stay. But for me, it wasn't the thing. These other things that I tried, like the EMDR, the hypnotherapy, they didn't work for me, right? And so I feel really lucky to have found something that did really pretty darn quickly and easily and gracefully just allow me to go in a new direction. Mm-hmm. And so that can be something like your biggest trauma, or it could be something that just takes up a lot of your headspace, like an annoying thing that your neighbor may have said that you just can't stop thinking about. When we do this kind of work, it literally unhooks from whatever you're just kind of like glued to, mm-hmm. allows you to move on. And so, you know, you might not understand some of the other things that we've been talking about, but everyone has stress or trauma. Yeah. And this is the most direct, easy, simple, beautiful way. I love direct. I love simple. I love easy. I no longer need that. I have to struggle and prove my worth, that I'm deserving of love and acceptance if I struggle and work so hard. No, I like simple and easy, and simple is deep and simple is elegant. And so for me, this has been where it's at. Yeah, just to speak to also what you were saying for anybody who's like, what's going on in this conversation?
Yeah. And like, even with the subconscious mind, like, for those who are listening, your subconscious mind is like your feeling mind. You know, your conscious is your thinking mind. Your subconscious is your feeling mind. It's your subconscious mind doesn't know the difference between what's real and what's not. So I would love if you could share for the listeners some tools that they can implement in order to heal, some things that are faster than going through the long process with the conscious mind.
Right. So the subconscious rules, it holds, it's responsible for our behaviors, our beliefs, our habits, right? And our beliefs and our habits and our behaviors, I mean, they define our lives, right? So if you're hitting a lot of resistance, you don't know why it's so hard to like eat right or exercise or have energy or not binge Netflix every single day for 3 hours, it's because you're in some sort of contracted belief about what you feel you are deserving or worthy of, or like, how much joy is available to you, something like that, right? And so the subconscious, creating 97% of our lives, it likes consistency and it likes repetition. So you can try to use mantras. You're going to take a really, really long time to get there. The subconscious really prefers images and it prefers like feeling. So that's why stuff like Joe Dispenza's work, where he has you and he's, you know, very sensational. So a lot of people probably know who he is. But like when you can practice getting into the feeling of what you want, and when you can practice like imagining what you want, it's very powerful. It's even more powerful if you can do that in a theta state of brainwaves. So like before you get out of bed in the morning and you're still sleepy, before you get up, go to the bathroom, have coffee, whatever it is, laying there just for a couple moments, even imagine how you want your day to feel. What would it smell like? What would it look like? What would it taste like? What are the colors? What are the sounds? Like practice being in that before you're just like in the mix of all the stuff you have to do. Very powerful. And then do that again before you go to bed. Those are the two most powerful times for your brain to receive programming. Mm-hmm. And then you can be consistent with that. You could also listen to self-hypnosis. I haven't found any that I love. I would really like to make some because I'm like, what are they saying to me when I'm sleeping? I want to know. So I want to make some, but you can find some on Spotify or YouTube or whatever. A vision board is nice for your subconscious because, again, your subconscious likes visuals. So no words, but having that either from Pinterest as your screensaver or on your phone. For me, I made a thing on Canva and then had it printed out on canvas and it hangs in my bedroom. I actually realized not so long ago that everything on that vision board came true, and that I really need to make another one. So those are some of the things. It's really beautiful, though, to do some sort of subconscious heavy lifting, whether it's Psych K or emotion code or EMDR, and then do these other things I've just named to reinforce the new pathway in your mind that you create with of heavy. I mean, it's just going to be a million times faster and easier. So those are some of the things that come to mind.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing those. I love that you mentioned images because I believe in affirmations and mantras, but I also understand and know that as people, we think in pictures, you know, so if I were to say dog, someone listening is going to envision whatever dog that comes to mind for them, whatever, you know, breed of, whether it's their own dog, someone else's dog, their mind is not going to picture the letters D-O-G, like we think in pictures. So I love that you mentioned that. Also with, you know, feelings, I think even when people talk about whether it's law of attraction or any of those things, sometimes the lingo used in a lot of those explanations or teachings can be very complicated for the average person to understand. And our feelings, our emotions are really just labels for the vibration that we're on, the energy that we're feeling. So it's hard for someone to understand attracting this, you know, beautiful, positive life over here when their thoughts are, you know, dark and deep and all these things. So bringing up your vibration, all of those things, I feel like having to actively practice and learn to shift my feelings. Like when I'm, I don't know, if someone upsets me or, you know, I'm just trying to think of a quick example for the sake of time. But like, if I'm not in the greatest mood, being able to visualize and then feel what it would feel like to experience those things, you know, the act as if I'm feeling it right now, helps to shift a lot instead of just saying an affirmation, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
And I love how you mentioned the emotion code. And for anyone who is listening that doesn't know what that is, there's a book called The Emotion Code. Then there's now practitioners that really teach about trapped emotions within the body. And I wanted to understand it. So I actually had, I guess, a session to understand like the trapped emotions within my body. And I went in completely skeptic. I tried to be very open-minded, but I was like, how are you going to release any trapped emotions or understand anything like that, like on a Zoom call? And my mind was blown. So I do definitely recommend it for anyone who wants to try the experience. But without explaining my past experiences or my present situation, that practitioner was able to not only know the timeframes from both during my mom's pregnancy, the feelings that she was feeling that were trapped within me, but also my own feelings growing up and things that I had experienced, labeling and telling me what that feeling was and being able to release that pain from certain parts of my body, my mind was absolutely blown. Blown. Like, I am a believer now. I also love that you mentioned Dr. Joe Dispenza. I'm a huge fan of his, and I love how he connects spirituality with science, because I feel like a lot of analytical people need the science behind to understand things. But he shows through the power of faith and belief and the spiritual side of things how it makes sense scientifically and how those fuse together. So for anyone listening, I recommend, you know, check out Dr. Joe Dispenza's work. Okay, so I would love to know more about like what you learned about emotions growing up. You know, how did those things help you and how did they hurt you?
I was always big in my emotions, you know, like I'm a sun sign Leo, born year of the tiger, super fiery, but my moon or my rising, I always get them confused, as in Cancer. So I'm like a big fiery feeler. I mean, that's just who I am. I have a lot of capacity, but it's also like too much for a lot of people. And I was taught that that too much was too much. It was never blessed, seen, you know, unless I was giving, unless my too much was like, in the amount that I could be generous, right? And so again, that's where a lot of my acting out came from, because I didn't have like the right channel for all my passion, for my intensity, for my ability to feel and empathize and care. It was sort of misdirected, misused. And, you know, it was also like, I was raised with a lot of like martyr, victim, savior stuff, like, which is pretty prevalent in Catholicism as a woman. And so it was okay to like cry and be emotional and be super affected by like other people's experiences or your own suffering, and then to wallow in that and like just kind of stay there. That definitely helped me like connect with family members, but it wasn't healthy, right? Like I was never, certainly was not taught to like be in the presence of others or in my own suffering and sadness and then have ways to clear, right? What was not mine or not mine to carry. So I love working with the emotions. I think my emotional capacity is one of my gifts. And really a lot of people have it. It's just that they don't have those ways of coming back to themselves. You know, I think everybody is mostly empathic, unless your brain is maybe neurodivergent or, you know, spectrum in ways that you like, you don't have connections and synapses the way other brains do. Most people are pretty empathic. It's just a matter of like being able to, again, come back to your own energy and clear the stuff that's not you, that a lot of people just get numbed out or avoid or try to compartmentalize or ignore, because it can be so much in our modern world and modern experience. So it's kind of what I end up teaching people all day, every day, is how to come back into their own energy and have clear without guilt.
So where do you feel safest expressing your emotions?
With myself, like maybe in nature. With my dog. And then I'm not one of those people that's always had like a million friends around me, but I have like a couple core people who are my solids, or like people I haven't seen in a long time that I don't connect with, that I get together with. And then it's like no time has passed. So if I were to spend time with them more, definitely. But like a lot of people, you know, I'm like busy. I also love my own time. So I say that as a person who's like very comfortable with quiet. Mm-hmm. And have a lot of people come to me needing space holding. That's like my gift. And so when I'm not doing that, I'm often like off grid, away from people in nature. So Yeah.
I love that. I love that. I can completely relate. I'm an introvert. I am an HSP. I am like a sponge for energy. So I require a lot of alone time. I being around, you know, busy environments, and I'm highly overstimulated and things like that. So I get it. I love nature walks. My partner and I, for like maybe just over, well, almost 2 years, like every day, you know, doing nature walks, going out to nature trails, conservation areas. I found it helpful with my healing, like, you know, to ground myself, but to get away from all the noise and to just reconnect.
Yeah, exactly.
So what advice would you, sorry, go ahead.
That's my church. That's God for me. It's where things would make sense is in nature. They're, you know, like I've said often, because I live in the Pacific Northwest, like the trees are my besties. The plants are my besties, the flowers, the sun, the water. And I like it that way.
I get it. I get it. So, okay. What advice would you give to your younger self, and what would be different now had you known that advice then?
I mean, I would tell myself that I am worthy and deserving of love and acceptance exactly as I am.
Mm-hmm. So what advice would you give your future self?
Well, back to our previous conversation, really, that we don't really need to sweat the small stuff. Like, for me, it makes the best, most wise sense when I like drop into my heart. I come out of the busy mind that's trying to rule the world consciously and just come into like my feeling again, how I want things to feel, but then also remembering that we are spiritual beings in physical human form. So just that reminder can be really comforting, softening, expansive for me.
I have heard many misconceptions, I'd say. How do I say this? I didn't necessarily grow up within the church, but my mom sent me to church with like the neighbors and stuff like that, going to a Catholic church. And as I got older, I started going to church with my sister and my mother and stuff. And it was almost, and I don't like the word like religious, because I feel like it divides, but it was like religiously going to church twice a week, every Wednesday and every Sunday. And I found, as I started to dig deeper into personal development, as I started to dig deeper into healing, I found there's a lot of misconceptions with quote unquote churchgoers, with anyone who uses the label or the lingo of spiritual outside of what they know. So again, perception. So considering the work that you do and what you're passionate about, what are misconceptions that people may have about you?
A ton, right? We saw that with COVID. Like, I was very much a believer that you do whatever you want, support yourself in whatever way, whatever makes you feel safe and right, that's great. But there is indigenous medicine. There is natural medicine that is ancient and very wise. In China, everybody like gets acupuncture, receives herbs. It's just like part of their thing, right? And, you know, I didn't speak a ton at that time because like natural medicine, natural immunity, that got shut down. That was very much like controlled by the people who run social media, because they were trying to push all the pharmaceuticals, all the stuff that to me has not been around very long. And I didn't know how it was going to affect me or my child's fertility. Mm-hmm. I had tons of patients coming to me that were having really horrible things happen in their lives. And I felt like I couldn't talk about it, mm-hmm. because it was very much not accepted or welcomed. Mm-hmm. And bad things that were directly related, even their doctors saying, even on the mainstream, it being in the news. But I didn't feel like I could say anything out loud. And so, I mean, that to your point, I can say it now a couple of years later, because it's just in such a different place now than it was a couple years ago. But I just kind of respect everybody's choice and what's right for them. And not everybody at that time had that capacity. And I saw a lot of separation and division. And I didn't like how that was going down either. And so I just kind of withdrew.
Mm-hmm. How did that make you feel? Like feeling like I feel like anytime I have to bite my tongue and go inward and not be around society because of what is happening, you know, you feel silenced, you feel unheard. Like, how did that make you feel having to withdraw from what you believe because of what was happening?
I mean, at the same time, I also felt like what I believed or needed to say didn't need to be shouted on social media. I felt like my wisdom was really just in honoring my own self, my needs, felt was right. Maybe just pausing and not jumping on a bandwagon before I knew for sure what was going on and being 100% trusting of my own self, my own body, how I was made and as a mother. And it really just kind of depended on where you lived. I live in a very, 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 very pro certain way. And that's fine. That's totally fine. But like for me, I would love your respect for what is right for me, right? That wasn't necessarily given by everyone. And thank goodness I have the tools in my life to love and accept myself as I am. I don't need your approval or your acceptance for me to do what's right for me,
mm-hmm.
me and my child. So it made me feel lots of things, you know, a lot of sadness when I see separation and division, because that's kind of the constant theme, even what's going on in the world right now with war and all of the things. And so what I can do is heal any separation and division within myself, mm-hmm. to see in space for other people as they come to me every day, all day.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Medicine.
Yeah. When you are being your true authentic self, and I've had this experience, and I've had many of my clients share the same or similar experiences, but it's like, you know, relationships around you can be put in jeopardy. You know, people may not either agree with your beliefs or viewpoints or even understand it sometimes because of their own perspectives and experiences. So how have you been able to navigate the relationships around you as you've evolved?
I really appreciate you asking me that. This feels like medicine for like a stranger to hold space for me to just speak to these things, because I do feel more understood almost by people who don't know me, at least through pandemic, because people did expect me to be a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
As a healer, or as their guru, or as their whatever. I don't want to be your guru. Like, I'm just honestly doing what I feel like is most true and right for me, and also honoring whatever is true and right for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't even remember your question, actually.
But how have you navigated the relationships around you as you've evolved?
Well, had I not had Psych-K and breath work in my life, if I didn't have nature, if I didn't have such self-care practices in place, I probably would be reeling and spinning with the relationships in my life that fell away.
Mm-hmm.
Even people that I was like, wow, I thought we were on the same page about some things, when no, not at all. Whereas like, I don't know, I think I just realized I have a lot more capacity
mm-hmm.
in my lives for allowing people their own opinions, their own beliefs, to allow them to be who they are, as long as they're not unkind to me.
Yeah.
We're good.
Yeah.
And I can hear your perspective and still not agree with you and be fine. But yeah. Most people are just walking around with their wounds ripped open, being triggered at every single little thing, which is exactly why this work that I've come into is so helpful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's like, if you're walking around with all those triggers and like what you absolutely think you know all the time and that you're right and that's the only way, like you're really just walking around projecting your wounds onto everybody.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I listened to a Jay Shetty podcast recently, and I can't remember the name of the guest. I believe he's a doctor as well, but he was talking about how, you know, us walking around with our triggers is like walking around with a loaded gun. And if we are not working on our triggers, then basically we're not taking the bullets out of the gun. We're just kind of like looking around. Like you said, we're projecting, you know, our hurt and wounds onto other people, hurting everyone around us. Yeah. I feel like I had something to say about what you said a while ago, and my brain just totally went silent.
That's all right. Exactly, you know, what you just spoke to. And I love Jay Shetty's podcast as well. He has a good one on there with Zach Bush from not so long ago, and asked Zach like questions I'd never heard before. And I've listened to a lot of Zach's podcasts. It was great. It was probably my favorite one that I've heard. So I like Jay Shetty a lot. But yeah, exactly. I even posted something this morning from, I think, Gabor Mate about how like Western society, like the medical paradigm is to get rid of the pain, right? But that's not healing. Healing is your capacity to hold that pain.
Mm.
And that's exactly it.
Mm-hmm.
It. Like if you take care of your own healing, if you take care of your own inner child, parent, guide yourself the way you needed to, you honor your experience, you don't try to like avoid it or push it away, you will have the capacity to be with others in their experience and not take it on as your own.
Yes. Yeah. You know, even to your point about, you know, honoring your own experiences, I had an experience with a friend that I've known since childhood. And as I started to heal, it was almost like hard for me to understand how this person had a front row seat to all of my hurts and experiences and a front row seat to my healing, but still didn't understand me one bit. And I had to realize as I created my own separation from them to love them from a distance, where I was like, how can I expect this person to hold space for me and my feelings and understand me and my feelings when they don't hold space for their own feelings? They don't understand their own feelings. So it released me being upset with them or having any expectation of them. Which brings me back to the point that I was going to make earlier that I forgot, where I love how your view of things is like, yes, this is my belief. This is what works for me. This is what I do. And it's, you know, what you spoke to about people that have this, you know, wrong and strong belief where, you know, they're walking around with their hurts or their negative, I guess, energy. And expecting other people to believe, and that's only like one way of seeing things or one truth. I strongly believe that two things can be true at the same time. It's based on perspective. It's based on our experience. So just because I'm right doesn't mean that you're wrong. I strongly feel like my ability to connect to people from so many different countries and colors and races and religions is because it's like, I don't have this belief that, well, this is what I believe, so you're wrong. This is what I believe and you should believe it too. It's okay, this is what I believe and this is what I see as truth, but I am open. If you can show me that something else is also true or can expand on what I know or is different from what I know, I'm totally open to that. Like I've learned that a closed mind cannot accept new ideas. And I feel like there's so many people that are walking around closed-minded with their beliefs and not open. And that, you know, leads to a lot of the ignorance that we see online and people, you know, saying such negative things and things they know nothing about.
Exactly. Thank you so much for saying grateful for you and for you just holding that kind of resonance in the world, because I am so open to having my mind changed.
Mm-hmm.
Like I know what I know is like a deep wisdom knowingness, but I also like my knowingness is not your knowingness. And also like, yeah, I'm also okay if my mind changes. It's okay to change your mind. It's okay to not know. And that's how those egos get so big.
Yeah.
No, in this super stressful, traumatic, confusing situation, you don't need to know anything.
Yeah.
You don't have to even have an opinion.
Yeah.
I'd just be observing right now, but you know, people, they get all puffed up.
Yeah,
it rules the world. So, thank you.
Thank you. We don't know what we don't know. You know, I grew up with a generation of parents and grandparents that thought that their way was the only way, and you know, thought that like they knew everything. So you just have to do as you're told. But
I try to parent from a space of, I don't know everything. And even though I have access to the internet, I don't want to know everything. So I'm open. So before we go to the final segment of the show, I would love if you could share with the listeners where they can stay connected with you, where they can learn more from you and about you.
Yeah, thank you. I love connecting, but I'm also not on the internet very much. So I do hang out in Instagram stories because I like sharing there when I feel like it. It's mostly me out in nature or me as a mom or me sharing my work, which people can understand a lot from because it's a lot of testimonials and people's experiences. If you're still like, what do you do? Just in my name as my website, my name on Instagram, Krishna Alalan. And then if you're a LinkedIn person, I do have a page there. So yes, reach out in any way. I would love for you to say hello.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. So the final segment, because I am obsessed with Jay Shetty, it's very similar, kind of like a rapid fire where I ask you a couple of quick questions. I don't like to put anyone in a box. So, you know, feel free if you need to expand on your answer. It doesn't have to be one word or one sentence.
Okay. I'm nervous. Go.
Okay. Name a book that has changed or greatly impacted your life.
Biology of Belief, Bruce Lipton.
Okay. What new belief, behavior, or habit has improved your life in the last 5 years?
New belief or habit or behavior. Gosh, I've had so many for so long. I love to turn my phone off by 8 p.m. That's pretty epic.
Love it. Okay. What's one thing that most people often get wrong about you?
That I'm always so calm and peaceful.
There's balance in the world. There's equal sides. I get it. How has being a mother changed you?
It's changed everything about me. You know, I never had fear before I was a mom. I mean, I probably had fear, but like as I am now, I don't really know that I'd have fear if I weren't a mom.
Mm-hmm.
Expanded my heart. It's been my muse for wanting to be a better person. It's helped me be selfless.
I love it. Love it. When was the last time you cried?
Last night. Boosting with the full moon.
Okay. Last but not least, what do you wish women would do more of?
Love themselves. Not compare themselves to others.
Mm-hmm.
Their own brilliance and uniqueness and how important and needed that is in the world. And that they're enough exactly as they are.
I love it. Love it. Thank you so much, Krishna, for sharing the space with me, for co-creating this experience with me. I appreciate you. I appreciate your time and your wisdom. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, too.
And to all of you listeners out there, until next time, be sure to subscribe. Don't forget to rate and leave us a review on Apple Podcast. I would love to hear, you know, what resonated with you, what part of Krishna's story resonated with you, what gems did you take away? We would love to hear your feedback in your review. If you are someone who is avid on social media, you can tag us on social media. You can tag Krishna at KRISHNA. AVALON. You can tag myself at The Real McKinney Smith. And I just want to thank each and every one of you that continues to listen each week to help the show rank globally in the top 1.5%. And that's out of over 3 million podcasts, because you could be doing anything else in the world right now, but you are here sharing space with us. A healthy community is a healing community, and a healing community is full of hope because it has seen its own people weather, survive, and thrive. So let's continue to heal her.